Amen. Thank you, Brother Hayward. Brother Ricky. What a blessing. I'm so glad. Mercy. Walk in. Amen. Glad God didn't give me what I deserved. Hallelujah. Well, what a blessing to see you this morning. I forgot to mention in the prayers, which I always should, and I'm bad to forget, my sister Sherilyn over here. She's still going through her radiation treatment. She looks so good and behaves so good that I often will forget that she's having any difficulty. Amen. So she's doing real well. You've got to go to February the what? February the what?
16th, I'll be done. Every time I'm supposed to, but don't miss any, I'll be done February the 6th.
Well, if I know you, you'll be there. That's the way she operates, ain't it? Hallelujah. Well, we thank God you're doing so good. She's always in the house of God in Sunday school. And what a blessing it is. Amen. Thank God. Good to see you. Good to see Miss Frances back. She's having a problem with the foot, and so she needs our prayers. But I'm glad to see her in the house of God. I'm glad to be here too. And I'm glad to be here with you. Amen. Miss Brandy and the Jordans are over. That'd be a group, wouldn't it? Brandy and the Jordanaires or something like that. She's playing piano over at Mount Olive. The piano player is ailing over there. And so we miss her this morning. We appreciate all of them. But we're glad to see you in the house of God this morning. God is so good. We were talking in Sunday school about maybe in February, one of them chilly nights, having a chilly supper. So when we get that all worked out and planned, I came out and Gidget over here, she said, we need some chili. So that kind of confirmed it, you know, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, something's confirmed. So I think we need some chili, don't you? I bet the Raging Cajun. You make chili, or you just eat chili? You make it too? All right, that's good. So that if that comes to fruition, we will be sure to let you know. Amen. Hallelujah. So good to be with you today. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the Old Testament, to the third book of the Bible. You'll find Genesis, Exodus, and Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. There are two books that you can teach in the Bible that will get you in trouble. I know, because I've taught both of them and I got in trouble, both of them. You'll get in trouble teaching the book of Leviticus. Why? Because the book of Leviticus deals with the subject of holiness. Holiness, the holiness of God's priest, the holiness of God's people. Amen. 1 Corinthians will get you in trouble because it deals with carnality in the church. Amen. So be that as it may, I want you to turn to Leviticus chapter number 19. Leviticus chapter number 19. Now we've been talking last time, 2 weeks ago, before our throttle gave out on us when we were sick, the description, what we call the description of demons. What are demons? We've dealt with somewhat. What are demons like? What concept can we have whereby we might understand demons? And so last time we talked about demons pictured as evil spirits and lying spirits. Today I want to deal with them as revealed and described as familiar spirits and unclean spirits. Now understand this, that the function and purpose of the devil and the demons are to imitate and duplicate that which God does. The devil and the demons, the devils are not out here in the bar halls, the saloons, the brothels, concerned with people. They deal with religious things. They deal with the things of God in that they like to imitate and duplicate the things of God. Now, why would they want to do that? In order to seduce somebody, to beguile somebody, to fool somebody into thinking that what they are beholding or perhaps what they are involved in is something that God is in, when in reality, God's far from it. So Paul said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel, not of darkness, but of light. And so his ministers are transformed into ministers of righteousness. And so understand this. Demons operate in the realm of religion to convince people that the things that they do are the result of the presence and act of God rather than themselves. Satan and the devils love nothing better than deluding somebody and confusing somebody into thinking that they are saved, they are ready to meet God because of whatever it is that they are doing, when they're really headed to hell like a marten to a gourd. Now that's real. That's enveloping the world today. And so the problem is, the issue is, what you need to do, what I need to do, is to learn to recognize and differentiate between that which is of God and that which is of the devils and the demons. Now we're headed toward what I call voices from devils. We're going to get there in the Gospels pretty soon, and you're going to find that the majority of the time when a devil opens his mouth, he's actually speaking truth. That surprised me too. But they do. You see, here's his goal. Along with 15 ounces of truth, he just wants to impart to you 1 ounce of lie. For as we found out in the Sunday school lesson, a little leaveneth leaven the whole lump. So if you just let the devil get his foot in the door, then you can believe sooner or later he'll break down the door and he will come in. Do you know whenever God's moving and when the devils are moving? Now, I'm just going to be honest with you today. There are a lot of people meeting in churches today, and I'm talking churches that are packed, and they've got all kind of shenanigans going on, and lights are flashing and racket and pounding and hollering, and they think they're worshiping God. Now, I've got news for you. You don't worship God your way. You worship God his way, or you don't worship God at all. Amen. And so the devil is involved in a lot of this. Oh, if it makes us feel good, we think, well, it must be of God. My friend, I felt good a long time before God ever saved me. It's got nothing to do with it. You need to learn to recognize the hand of God when it moves and the hand of the devil whenever it moves. Amen. So I want us to look in chapter 19 of the book of Leviticus, and we're going to begin this morning talking about a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit. Leviticus 19, verse number 31. The Bible says, the Lord says to his people, regard not. What does that mean? Mean don't pay attention to something, don't it? Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. Now notice, that's enough, but notice how he closed it. He said, I am the Lord your God. What's he saying? Don't be fooled by them. Now turn a page in your Bible to Leviticus chapter number 20. Leviticus chapter 20. And let's begin reading in verse number 26. God speaking to his people, and he said, and ye shall be holy. Now, what did I say the book of Leviticus was about? Holiness. And ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from other people, that ye should be mine. Now look what he says next. A man also, or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. Thus we see the severity of the consequences and the judgment of the law. Now turn over to the book of Numbers and then the book of Deuteronomy in your Bible. We're going to read one other portion of Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Deuteronomy chapter number 18. Remember, we're focusing on that which is known as a familiar spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 18, begin reading in verse number 10. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. Oh my goodness, that's something you see, a theme all the way through the Bible. We see people who were people of God who fell into this practice. And friend, it was a religious practice, is what it was. Now continue. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now read the next verse. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. Now look. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. You see? He said, I've given you this land of these heathen people, and I've drove them out of this land because of these wicked practices, these wicked religious practices that they practiced, and I've given you their land. And so you are not to behave as they behaved and do the things that they did or worship the way that they worshiped. So we saw in these instances, and there's others we could read, the phrase familiar spirits. Familiar spirits. What does that mean? What does the word familiar mean? Well, the only dictionary I use is Noah Webster's dictionary of 1828. That dictionary says that to be familiar with something is to be intimately acquainted with it. And the second meaning of that word has to do with or pertains to a family. So when we talk about familiar spirits, we're not only talking about familiar spirits, we're talking about familial spirits. Now remember that, because I'm going to deal with that a little bit later with you, probably next week, how that these devils occupy family lines and pass down through generations until somewhere along the line that cord is broken. My sister was big on this genealogy stuff. She traced our genealogy all the way back to Ireland. And boy, she'd tell me all about it. You need to. I said, I'm kind of scared. I'm afraid what I'll find if I go back. Amen. There ain't no telling what I'll run across back there. Amen. So a familiar spirit is a spirit. Let's go ahead and use the Bible word devil or demon. It is a demon that somebody is personally acquainted with and that may have been a familiar resident in that family a long time. Now, what is the purpose? What is the goal? What is the point of a familiar spirit? I've already stated it. To try to influence you and convince you that what they have to offer you actually comes from God and not them. Now, we'll deal with that a little bit. Think about when God called Moses and sent him back to Egypt. You remember Moses made all kind of excuses and stuff. And one thing God said to Moses was this: Moses, what is that in thine hand? Do you remember that? Well, he had a staff. You'll recall that. And he told him that with that staff, he would do many wonders in Egypt that would eventually convince Pharaoh to let his people go. So here goes Moses and Aaron down to Pharaoh's house. And he goes to Pharaoh and says, "Thus saith the Lord God, let my people go." You remember what Pharaoh said? "What sign do you give me that I should let those people go?" Now you remember that word, signs. Signs, wonders, miracles. Moses threw down the staff before Pharaoh, and the Bible says it turned into a serpent. What happened then? Pharaoh's, and this is what they're called, magicians, came in. And guess what? They threw down their staffs and they became serpents. Now, we know that what Moses and Aaron did was a result and demonstration of the power of God. So the question is, how did the magicians do what they did? Well, they didn't know nothing about the God of Israel at that point in time. They were about to learn. So how they did what they did, and here's the word the Bible uses, through their enchantments. They duplicated, mimicked, imitated the thing that Moses did. How do you know the difference? God said, "I'll show you the difference." Moses' serpent ate those other serpents. Swallowed them up. Demonstration. But see, it didn't convince Pharaoh. Why? Because he said, "My magicians can do the same things that you do. I don't believe what you say. Ain't nothing to it." Okay. Moses comes back. Same message. "Let my people go." Aaron takes a staff, put it down in the waters of the river, and they change to blood. Well, now I'm already convinced. But what happened? Pharaoh once again called his magicians in. And what did they do? They duplicated that which Moses had just done. They turned water into blood. But how did they do it? By their enchantments. That's what it says. Pharaoh said, "My boys will do everything you do, Moses. Why should I believe what you have to say about the God of Israel?" Third time Moses goes in. And he calls up frogs upon the land. Whole place is covered with frogs. In come the magicians. What did they do? They did the same thing. Brought up a bunch of frogs by their enchantments. Once again, Pharaoh says, "I can do the same thing you do with my magicians. Why should I pay any attention to the Lord God of Israel?" Okay. Three times they have done what appears to be the same thing that Moses and Aaron were able to do. One was performed by the power of God. They'll confess it in a minute. By the power of God. The other one was performed by the power of devils. He comes in the fourth time. "Let my people go." Hey, I'm right here with you, Moses. I'll do anything that you do. Aaron took his rod and he touched the ground and the dust of the earth became gnats. Now, these were not gnats like fly up your nostril and aggravate you. Back home, there were softball fields behind fire station number 2, where I spent the majority of my career. And we'd go out in the evenings and watch them play softball a lot of times. And friend, there were gnats out there. I don't know where they come from, but they would cover you up, and them boogers would bite you. Years ago, my wife sold Avon, and they made a cologne called Black Suede. And I discovered if you rub that Black Suede on you, them gnats wouldn't light upon you. They also made a product called Skin So Soft that some of you may be familiar with. But that's what happened. The dust of the ground became gnats, amen, and covered everybody. The magicians come out, and the Bible says, with their enchantments, they could not turn the dust into gnats. They couldn't duplicate it. Now, here was their response. When they couldn't do it, they turned to Moses, and you know what they, to Pharaoh. You know what they said? This is the finger of God. Not their gods. The God of the Israelites. And son, at that point in time, they were convinced, and there is an indication that those boys went out when Ezra went out. I can't prove it to you solidly, but there are implications that they did. Amen. And so they couldn't at this point in time. But did you see, 3 times they were able to convince Pharaoh and all of the people that they had just as much power as the God of the Israelites. Amen. So devil's role and purpose is to be a evil spirit, a lying spirit, a familiar spirit, an unclean spirit, in order to duplicate and imitate the things of God or religious things, to deceive people into thinking that they're following the God of heaven when they're really following the God of this world. One way they do it is through familiar spirits. Now, there used to be years ago circuses and fairs and different things that would come by through town. And always in there, there would be somebody who was a fortune teller. We all know about crystal balls, reading palms, all kind of things like that, where that they would then tell your future, fortune teller. Now, you know as well as I know that the majority of time that is a hoax. It's just a hoax. They are word manipulators, and they know how to say what you want to hear and to get out of you the information that they need to get out. But there are times when it is real. Now, I'm going to tell you. One of our firemen came to me one day, and he'd been down to one of these things. And he said, Donnie, of course he knew I was a preacher. He said, I want to tell you something. He said, that woman told me things about myself that nobody knows but me and her. And his question was, how did she know that? And I said, listen, son, I used his name. I said, what ought to scare you, my friend, is that she did know those things about you and how she knew those things about you. Of course, here's what he's thinking. That it had to come from God, for only God could know those unknown things. I said, boy, you better run. I said, you better forget about that, and you better run. Because how she knew that was that she had a familiar spirit. Now, here's the thing about familiar spirits. Get a hold of this. I was born in 1948. Devils, demons, and familiar spirits have been around for thousands of years. Now, if you want to know something about my past, you're either going to have to ask me or ask somebody who knows me. Now, understand this. If devils have been around that long, and they are, as we say, familiar, then, my friend, they know everything about my life. Therefore, she could tell me things about my life because she's got that information from that spirit that has known me all my life. He's been around. Now, the opposite operates. The fortune teller can tell you, hey, you're going to have good fortune. This is going to happen. You're going to meet someone. And then it happens. Here's what we naturally say. Man, God must be giving her this information. Amen? Isn't that the natural human thought? But rather than that, it is the opposite. You see, a familiar spirit not only has the knowledge of the past to tell you that which has happened in the past, but they also have the ability to affect the future. In other words, they have the power to cause things to happen. So if a familiar spirit tells a medium, hey, you tell them, they go down the casino to the dice table, they're going to hit the good numbers and they're going to win some money. Well, all a familiar spirit has to do is go down there when they're and just thump the dice over. And I know that sounds childish, but I'm putting it in a way that you can understand that they not only know the past, but they can affect the future. Now, I want us to go to 1 Samuel chapter 28. We're going to see an illustration of this in the life of Saul and the role and the performance of that which would be a familiar spirit. Now, what happens when God shows up and a familiar spirit shows up at the same time? Look here, 1 Samuel chapter number 28. Let's begin reading in verse number 3. Now Samuel was dead. Who was Samuel? The prophet. And all Israel had lamented him and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul, now look, Saul, who was at that time king, had put away those that had familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Hey, even a dummy can do something right once in a while, and old Saul did. Now look at verse 4. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem, and Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. In other words, he knew he had a battle on his hands that he didn't think he was going to win. Look at verse 6. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, once again, a good move. But a good move is in vain if that good move is too late. Too late. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Here's Saul, he's in trouble with the Philistines. He knows he's headed for a licking, and he tries to get a hold of God, but God's not talking to him anymore. Why? Bible said his spirit had departed from him. He goes to the priest who has the Urim and the Thummim, the stones of light, to try to get something from God. Nothing. He goes to any of those that claim to be prophets to find out what to do. None of them have a word from the Lord. He's in a desperate situation. Now look what he does, verse number 7. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. This is a woman that's famous. because of her relationship to a familiar spirit. And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Now, do you remember what we read in Leviticus 19, Leviticus 20, Deuteronomy chapter 8? You remember what God said? You're not to have them or suffer them or tolerate them that have familiar spirits. Saul understood that because the first thing we read here was he had previously driven them out of the land. But now, because he can't get a hold of God, what's he doing? What do you do when you can't get a hold of God? What do you do when you get in dire straits and you get in a difficult situation? What are you going to do? Who are you going to turn to then? That's where Saul is. And that's when you're in danger of going the wrong direction. Proverbs says, lean not to thine own understanding. So he goes to his servants, and they say, we know a lady in Endor that has a familiar spirit. And so he goes there disguised, because if this woman sees that he's Saul, she ain't gonna do nothing but run and hide, because he's already demonstrated how he felt about people with familiar spirits. So he's disguised himself, and he says, I want you to bring somebody up by your familiar spirit. And she said, who do you want me to bring up? And he said, the prophet Samuel. If I can't get anything out of a living prophet, I'll try to get something out of a dead prophet. Now, this lady had a familiar spirit, and she was used to that familiar spirit either manifesting itself in a way that it appears to be an answer to that was requested, or some form or imitation of it. And so she was used to that. But you know what happened? When she tried to bring up Samuel by that familiar spirit, guess what? Wasn't no familiar spirit showed up. It was Samuel that showed up. Now you read commentaries, and some of the commentators will say, well, that wasn't Samuel. That was a demon acting like Samuel. But you know what the Bible says? It was Samuel. So you know what? That satisfies me. It was Samuel. And I believe it was Samuel because of the response that he gave and what he knew about old Saul. Amen. And so he said, Saul, why are you troubling me to bring me up? He said, I'm in a fix, Samuel. The Philistines got me cornered, and I don't know what to do. I need a word. Samuel said this, the only word I can give you is the one I've already given you, Saul. God has taken away your kingdom, and he has given it to David. And he said, tomorrow you're going to die. Son, he hit the ground weeping. He wouldn't eat. He wouldn't do anything. And it took his servants a long time to ever get him up. Amen? Now, I want you to look. Go over, if you will, to 1 Chronicles chapter 10. I know we're reading a lot, but that's a good thing. That's always a good thing. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, and I want you to read there about the death of Saul. 1 Chronicles chapter number 10 and verse number 13. 1 Chronicles chapter 10, verse number 13. Listen to what the Bible says. So Saul died. Why? For his transgression which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. But that wasn't all. Read a little further. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him, and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. Wow. Did you see that? You see that? You've heard the expression, desperate situations require desperate measures. in his desperation, amen, rather than waiting on God, because he had a bad habit of not waiting on God. That was his weakness. And he went to the lady in Endor that had the familiar spirit. That's one of the reasons God killed him. Friend, you better be careful what you play with in this life. Amen. You better be careful what you bring into your house. You better be careful what you behold and you say, boy, that's the power of God. Boy, you had better really, really be careful. Now, I want us to read a couple of more places in the book of Isaiah. First of all, in Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8. We're going to read a few more verses about these familiar spirits, and I'll close. If you look up the definition of familiar as it pertains to a familiar spirit, you'll find that the word literally means a household servant. Once again, we get back to the family issue. I'll deal with that a little bit more when we get to the unclean spirits. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 8, and I want you to read this. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse number 19. He's talking about Israel and their coming destruction. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits. Chapter 8, verse 19. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that... Now notice what it says about these wizards. Wizards that peep. Do you see that? What does that word peep? Does it mean to peep into a window, that kind of peep? No, it means to chirp as a bird. Do you know that the use of familiar spirits many times in the Old Testament, and the word literally has to do with one who can perform like a ventriloquist, that they often spoke through an animal? How many of you remember what happened to Balaam's ass? Why wasn't he shocked when that ass spoke? You and I'd have said, wait a minute, then we'd have passed out. But he didn't do that. Why? Because you'll find that he was familiar with and he performed what was known as enchantments. So he was used to having animals speak. Amen. And here he talks about these wizards that peep, they chirp. Like birds. This is what I want you to see. Read on a little bit further. Under wizards that peep and mutter. Should not people seek unto their God for the living, for the dead? Now, here's what we see about these familiar spirits. Are you ready? They often speak in a language or a sound that people don't understand. Therefore, it requires an interpreter. And who is the interpreter? The medium. The one that goes in between. Huh? I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. God's not the author of confusion. Amen. I want to read one other verse. Flip over a few pages in Isaiah and we'll close. Isaiah chapter 29. He's talking once again about the destruction that's coming upon the northern kingdom and then eventually unto Judah. Isaiah chapter 29. He's referring in verse 1 to Jerusalem as Ariel. If you look up the word Ariel, it's a word that means lion of God. Chapter 29 of Isaiah verse 1. Woe to Ariel, the city where David dwelt. That tells you right there. Add ye year to year. Let them kill sacrifices. Go ahead and be religious, he says. Yet I will distress Ariel, and there shall be heaviness and sorrow, and it shall be unto me as Ariel. And I will camp against thee round about, and I will lay siege against thee with the mount, and I will raise forks against thee. Destruction's coming, he says. Now look, verse 4. And thou shalt be brought down. And shall speak, notice this, shall speak out of the ground. And thy speech shall be low out of the dust. And thy voice shall be as of one that hath a familiar spirit out of the ground. And thy speech shall whisper out of the dust. Now, he's comparing the destruction that's coming to Jerusalem, that's going to level the place. They're going to be lying in the dust of the ground. And he says, you're going to be talking out of the dust, just like someone who has a familiar spirit. Whew. Well, what's that got to move with me, preacher? What it's got to do with you and me is this. They're still around. They're still speaking out of the ground. They're still speaking out of mediums. They're still speaking out of families. They're still speaking out of politicians. They're still speaking out of nations. Nations. What I want you to see, I wanted to cover the unclean spirit, but we're not going to have time. We'll have to do that next time. What I want you to see is the danger of assuming that what you are seeing in the church is of God. Verse 19, he talks about the familiar spirits. And he says, he closes verse 19 by saying, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? Now look at verse 20. How do you know that which is of God and that which is not of God? Look at verse 20. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no life in them. Wow. Now, Satan can be transformed to an angel of light. And what does he appear as? He appears as life. But Isaiah, the Lord said through him, if whatever they're doing is not according to what the law says, the precept, the word says, I'm not in. Now you can go later and read Deuteronomy 13. Here's what it says, beginning in verse 1. It says, if a man or an individual does a sign, a wonder, a miracle, and along with what he does, he says, now we need to go serve other gods. God says, you better not go. What's he saying? The purpose of that sign, that wonder, that miracle, was to deceive you, not to bring you closer to God, but to bring you further away from God. Amen? Now, I say that for this reason. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that one day there's coming a man. He's called a man of sin. He's called that wicked one. We call him Antichrist. That he will appear with all, listen to what it says, lying signs and wonders. Now, what does that take us back to? It takes us back to the magicians of Egypt who duplicated the things that Moses did, but they weren't done by the power of God, by the arm of God. They were done to deceive. So when Antichrist comes, he and that false prophet will have the ability to do wonders.
supernormal things, but not supernatural. So that all the world wonders after the beast. You see what I'm saying? Now this may sound silly to you, but I want you to understand one thing. Devils and the devil, they are convincing. Convincing. So I've had a lot of debates with a lot of people through time, and here's what I always tell them. There's one line that I will not cross. I will not cross the line of this word. So you can tell me all about your experience and what you can do and all this and all that. But buddy, if you don't line up with this book, I don't care what the result was. A lot of false prophets today say, boy, that we're going to have the biggest revival. There's going to be the biggest revival that there has ever been in America. And all of this baloney. Baloney. When you have these crusades and things and hundreds of people over and over again, they all flood down and they all profess to be turning to Christ, don't you think that would affect the nation in which they live? But it has not. You can go all the way back to Billy Graham. I admire Billy Graham. I love Billy Graham. And I'm not being critical of Billy Graham. But I want to tell you this. If everybody who was in every one of his crusades really got born again, really got saved, America would be in the condition that it's in today. You see, Billy Graham produced a son who is a prophet who tells this nation, your sin is going to destroy this nation. And suddenly blackballed him. They won't let him near the White House or anywhere publicly that he might speak. That's the result. That's where we're at today, dear friend. You better believe the devil doesn't mind you being religious, but he don't want you to be right. You better be careful. Because every Sunday, his emissaries are sitting in the pew. We got a lot of room for them. I hope that that can be a scary thing. So I hope that you've understood something from this and you've got into something that probably you've never heard before. Now, I've never preached this stuff before. My wife can tell you that. But something happened in my life, an experience that I had that woke me up to all this. Because even though I was a young preacher, I was ignorant of it. But I want to tell you now, and I want to warn you now, it is real. It's real. Brother Richard, come lead us in a song. Now, it's not good to stir up devils. I told you that when we first started. They don't like to be exposed. And when you stir them up,